Be'ezer Shem's book, we begin Perek Shlish, the third chapter in the Rambam, the Hilchas Nachos, and the Laws of Inheritance, and the Sefer Mishpatim, in the Book of Judgments. We continue the theme of the previous Perek, in the specific of the Halachas of Yerusha, that of the firstborn who gets a double portion, which that's what we discuss in this week's, in this Perek, regarding what type of properties is it that the Bechor takes the double portion. And as the Rambam gets a Halachah, regarding that the Yerusha of the firstborn, that he gets a double portion, is specifically by that which is what's called Muchzik. The first one does not take a double portion. Regarding properties that are fit to become part of the father's estate after the father passed away. Rather, it's only by properties which have already been established as part of the father's estate. Shabbat Lord Shushu already came to his domain. Shnemeka says in the passage in the bottom, the firstborn gets whatever is found by him, which is, sounds like it's already in the father's domain. Kitzur, how so? So echad mimayrishay aviv, one of those who will bequeath when he passes away to his father, shemeis lachem is av, but he only passed away after his father passed away. Let's say the father's father, the grandfather, only passed away after the father already passed away. On that, habachir v'apashad gershin ke'echad, the firstborn and the regular son, they inherit as the same. Because that's not something the father had, it's something that's appropriate for him to come afterwards at a later point in time. So if the father had an outstanding loan, or even they had a ship out at sea, they inherit equally as one, because it's not something that's in his chazaka of the father when they passed away at that moment. If the father left over them a cow that was leased out, or which is similar to hired out, that is, the father has a certain percentage. Let's say the cow was out grazing in the marshland and they gave birth after the father had passed away. So the firstborn is going to take in the cow itself, let's say if it came fattened, and in the child, pishnam, a double portion, because this is what's called shvach, an increase, habam elav, that comes by itself. And let's say the case of the rental, it has to be told about that the renter is giving the food, and therefore the orphans are not expending anything in that thing. Regarding those types of things, that's not something that he has to share equally with the other brothers. That's something that is inherent in the double portion that he's getting, and therefore he gets a double portion that too. Halacha Gimel. Shachar echad mimakiri of behema. If one of those friends that were recognized his father, means to say that when the father was alive, this person always used to give to his father the certain Kohanic gifts that you have to give from every animal of Ibn Chulin that's slaughtered, which is the Zroi, L'chayam, and the Kebeth, three different parts of the animal. And he slaughtered when the father was still alive. And only then did the father pass away. So the first one's going to take a double portion from the Kohanic gifts from that animal, because when the father was still alive, although it wasn't actually given to him, it's already as if they're such good friends that he always gave it to him, that the father's ready b'chazaka, and that therefore the first one is going to get a double portion in those matanas. Halacha Dalid, regarding the inheritance of a firstborn, regarding, as we're describing, of shvach, of increase, or of milva, of a loan. So the first one does not take a double portion. If the properties of the father, after he passed away, there was an increase in the value of those things, he doesn't get a double portion in that shevach, but he's getting a double portion in those items in itself. So what does he do? Rather, he evaluates whatever the increase was in monetary value. And that excess, which he's taking a double portion of those things, but he's not allowed to get that in the shvach, so that shvach, he has to give that excess to the other brothers. Now, v'hu shishtana hanachasim, this is if the properties themselves went through a change. Could go in, for example, Carmel. So if you have the stalks of grain before the grains are fully matured, shenasi shibam, and then they became into fully developed stalks, or v'chafni, similar, you have the dates, the fruit of the date, which is close to when the blossom falls off. Shenasu tamarim, where it changed and became an actual, now it's called the date itself. So those are big changes. That's considered like something else. Therefore, he doesn't get a double portion. Not like that was muchzig when the father passed away. But if that, let's say they were increased because of themselves, so no one invested in them. And more of the lay nishtan, they didn't really change. Meaning, kagoyin ilan katan, like a small tree, shagot of other, it got bigger and they got thicker. Or the edit shahelsa sirtan, or the earth, that there is more sediment, meaning when the river floods the neighboring fields and it brings all the earth and the mud and after it settles, it makes the land better. So that's by itself, and there's no real concrete change to of the title of the item. That is considered the essential thing, and therefore he does take a double portion even in that increase of a value. He gets to keep that in his double portion. But let's say because they were someone who went and expended money in this to make it better, then they don't like regarding that. That wasn't in the father's possession when they passed away, and therefore that he wouldn't take a double portion. Halacha, hey. The first one does not take a double portion regarding a loan. Now, although the loan was documented in a contract, which that you're confident you're going to get that because it's a contract, and even if they ended up collecting property, real estate, for the debt owed to their father, which the property of the borrower has a lien on it to the documented loan, doesn't make a difference. Ultimately, it's not b'muchzik, even if you have all those variables. Now, let's say if the father, however, had a loan into his firstborn son, meaning he lent money to the firstborn son, and the son had that loan. So, how is the suffix? So, there's an element of doubt over here. On the one hand, would he take a double portion? He is in possession of it. Maybe he wouldn't take, because he's only inheriting because of his father, but then it still didn't come to the father for him to inherit from the father. So maybe it's like a regular loan where it's considered bureau and not b'muchzik. So lafikach liver, because of the doubt, in this situation, Chacham said, Yitl memen l'chatzah chelik b'chay, he should take a half of the portion as his firstborn for a double portion and half not. Halach above continues regarding what happens if the firstborn sells his portion or he pardons his portion. So b'chay, shemachar, chelik b'chay, ro'kan chalukah. The firstborn sold his portion of firstborn, this double portion before it was divided, memkorekayim. The sale is valid. Because the firstborn does have his portion of Bechayr before it's divided, even though he didn't even get it yet. Therefore, if he divides with his brothers beforehand, and only some of the properties, whether this part of the properties was real estate or movable items, either way, and in that beginning of the divisions, he says, I'm going to be like my brothers, he only takes a portion equal to all the other brothers. So vita b'chal nechasim. So he has now pardoned his double portion in all of the estate. And therefore, even in the rest, he's only going to take like a regular brother. Because he's shown that he's mavater in his b'char portion, which he's able to do, like we said. He's allowed to sell with mavater before the actual chalukah. Now, when we say this, only if he didn't protest when he took like a regular brother by the partial of the properties. But if he protested on his brothers, he said in front of two people, these grapes that I'm dividing equally with my brothers, it's not because I pardon my portion of being the Bechor. Oh, sorry, that's a protest. And he has not pardoned, he has not been Michael the rest of the properties. Now, even if he protested in the grapes when they were attached to the ground, and then it was harvested and then divided equally, he has not pardoned the rest of his properties because he had been meicha, even though they were still at a state when it was connected. But what would be different is if they press the grapes, and then he divides equally with them when it's wine, and he did not protest on them for his double portion for when it became wine, then he has pardoned for the rest of the father's estate. Because wine is a new element which he never protested. And since on that he's taking a portion like a regular brother and he didn't protest, because the protest and the grapes is not the same thing as the wine, it's considered like something very fundamentally different. So then he's revealing his intention that he's being mavatra and everything. Halamaza demo, what could you compare this to? So some of the protests regarding grapes, let's say he equally divided with them regarding olives, because grapes and wine is like the same thing as grapes and something totally different like olives. And that he wasn't meicha, and therefore he's totally mavater. The chen kol kesef, something like that would be considered as if he pardoned his double portion for all of the estate. Halacha Zayin now equates the inheritance of a yavam, which is that when a brother dies without any children, so then one of his brothers is supposed to marry the widow. His inheritance is like that of the firstborn. Misha yibim meishas hachav, someone that does yibim, which is the marriage of his brother's wife when he died without any children. He inherits all the properties of his brother that are in his possession right now. Now, whatever is appropriate for him to get at a later point in time, it's not yet ready, like a loan that didn't mature yet. Hanehu behem kakolachim. So regarding that, he's like all the other brothers, which all the brothers equally divide the inheritance of their brother, or the father gets it, or whoever it is, but he obviously doesn't have any children to inherit him, but he's equal to then all the other brothers. Why? The Pasuk is calling the Yavam, regarding the late brother's estate, as a firstborn. Shemek says in the Pasuk, although the simple translation of the Pasuk is one way, which is, the simple translation is, the firstborn that's going to be born from this new union of the brother-in-law and the wife, will take the place of the late brother, that's the whole point, and his name will not be obliterated from the Jewish people. But actually the way it's translated is, b'chor is not going on the newborn child. B'chor is that there's a mitzvah for the Yavam to be the firstborn to do Yibum. So essentially it's calling any Yavam as the firstborn. Ashatela that could give birth. That's the whole point. Yaakov Hashem Alchav Ameis, he's going to now go ahead and maintain his late brother's name by having a child. And his name will not be erased from the Jewish people. So you see that the Yavam is called the Bechar. Ah, Okashem Shem, and just like the firstborn, and so to the Yavam, does not take what's appropriate to come as well as what's in possession right now. It's only what he's in possession right now. Just like a Bechar to the father, so to the Yavam to his late brother's estate. So it does not take from the increase from the profit that the properties have improved after the death of his father, which is the same halacha as we said in halacha dal of the bechor to his father, from when he dies until when it's divided with his brothers, with his late father's estate. In other words, the one who does yibum inherits all the portions of his late brother in the father's estate that died before the brother died. Regarding that, we're saying he does not take that shevach just like the bechor does not take in that shevach that happened after the father died, which was before this brother died. So there's that portion, which again, we say you don't take in the shevach that comes after, just like a bechor doesn't take. And even if the properties go up in value after he does yibum and he merits in the chasim, but before they divide it, so he's like all the other brothers regarding that shevach. And although he takes from the properties two portions, when he's dividing the late father's estate, he takes his portion and the brother's estate that he did yibum, but since the father died when they were all alive, so regarding that, that's something that's going to be considered as the shevach haba l'achar misa. That's something that we said that he doesn't have any rights to take, just like we said regarding bechor, and the yavam has the same halacha like the bechor. Halacha ches. Kavar ba'ani mehechas shchein. We already explained the laws of neighbors in Perek Yud Beis Halacha Beis. Shabachar nitl shnei chalakim shaloi. That the firstborn he takes his two portions. Kechet, as one, b'metzer echad, in one boundary. They to be near each other. Abla Yavam, shechalkim echad, b'nechzi av, but regarding the Yavam, who's dividing with his brothers in the late father's estate, where he's taking his portion and his late brother's estate from the father, because the brother inherits, but he's not alive, so the Yavam gets that. Neitel chelke, which is a continuation of the previous halacha, neitel chelke b'chelke echad b'gerel. There he actually takes his portion and his brother's portion in the lottery, as all the estates are, besides the b'chor who gets both together. And if the lottery comes out that those are two different places, then it takes it in two different places. This is where the Yavam is different than that of the Bechar. Halacha test regarding the inheritors of the Shemedes Yavam, which Shemedes Yavam Shemesa, Shemedes Yavam is the woman who's waiting. The word Shemedes can mean anticipating. The waiting for the Yavam, where no one did even yet, and Shemesa, and she dies. So Afila also Ba'achem Acham Maimer, even if one of the brothers of the late brother did Maimer, which is a rabbinic kedushin for the Yavama, but it's not an actual Yibum, which biblically is only consummated with Bia. So even if one of the brothers did Maimer, but ultimately no one did Yibum with her yet. So Mishpachas Beis Aviyah, so her paternal family, where she doesn't have a husband anymore and she doesn't have any children, so it's her father and that family, Yerushim B'Nichsei Meloig, they inherit the Nichsei Meloig, which are properties that the late husband never took responsibility, so it was really never in his possession. It was always in her possession, although he had the rights to eat the payers. So her inheritors inherit that. And the Chatzi Nichsi Tzern Basel. Tzern Basel is somewhere a mix. It is her properties, but the husband takes full responsibility. So if it goes up or down, it's his liability or gain, but it's ultimately hers. So her inheritors take half of the Nichsi Tzern Basel, but Yerusha Baal. Now, regarding the inheritors of the late husband, which are his brothers, Yershin ksubasa, they inherit har ksuba, which was in the husband's possession until he pays it out. So that money's they inherit. Im chatzin nechtesim brazo, with half of the properties of the iron sheep, which is called that because the woman knows she's going to get back her money that was given like iron. Now, the inheritors of the husband, they have to bury this Shemetis Yavim who passed away. Why? Since, like we just mentioned a moment ago, that they inherit Har Kesuba. So therefore, like we explained in its place, the Chum imposed on the husband the expenses of the burial of his wife because of his rights to inherit Har Kesuba. And here, with their inheriting the Kesuba, therefore they have those obligations of her burial.